a few Goldilocks Bears podcast with Vincent Cloud,
John Nemeth,
David Lauer,
and your boy Scott.
I'm sorry. I mean, it's me. It's and Scott.
This is the show where we discuss our loves and our hates and our indifferences. It's going to be a little different this time because someone had to sit in and be a special guest.
I'm so sorry. I can go. I'll just step off.
So we're going to be
It's
choosing.
very nice here. I got stuff to do.
So we're going to be leaving out a few topics, but that's fine. But before we do any of that crap, we got to bring up old topics in a segment we like to call the Deja Fuse. I have one. We were talking about the Beatles' White Album, and I was really annoyed with myself for not mentioning Martha, My Dear. Martha, My Dear is such a cute piano love ballad, but at the same time, it's about his dog. It's about his love for his dog,
I
Martha.
think that song sounds like farts.
Dog
I don't know
farts.
much about the Beatles, so I'll just let you continue.
Least farts blamed on the dog.
Yes, there you go. Paul, did you write this? No, it was the dog. I mean, oh shit. But that's really cool. You could actually see Martha in the Something music video for you, Beatle maniacs. What are we called, Beatles fans? Do we even know?
I think that's good.
Yeah, Beatlemaniacs.
The Beatle
That's official,
maniacs?
right? Yeah.
I don't. Oh, really? Cool.
Yeah,
And
I
then,
lost my uncle to Beatlemania.
oh my gosh, is that your book you're gonna write? Oh, and then of course, whenever I get tired, one song pops in my head. John Lennon's "I'm So Tired," like every fucking time, because like that's
Every
so
time you lay
perfect.
down and sleep, you're like, I'm so tired. However, the song goes.
Was pretty damn close there,
Wasn't
Scott.
that song on Across the Universe?
It might have. Oh man, I haven't thought of that movie in a while. It might be in there. But that's so very good. He's really tired, but then he's restless, and he's also thinking about Yoko. She's kind of like they've been talking and stuff, and he's like, oh man, this might be getting serious and shit. I don't know. It's a nice little peek into his life in that little song right there. It's awesome.
I feel like John Lennon was just trying to fall asleep, but Yoko wouldn't shut up. And he's like, I'm so tired, leave me alone.
God damn it. No. Oh, and then Piggies. I will have to mention that that was one of the last songs for me to kind of warm up to. So I understand. I understand that these songs aren't enjoyed by everybody. I get that.
So, did you enjoy the full catalog then? If you
Yes.
finally came around to Piggy Wiggies or whatever it was.
Oh, catalog is in like every album and shit.
Yeah.
I still have to check out the earlier stuff. I do like it, but they're not as full albums. They're more like, oh, we had some songs here, and then this is filler, and they just didn't consider albums the same until Rubber Soul, something like that. But yeah, that's so I think that's all I have to say about White Album. I have more, but I don't have
So
to.
turn into a full
I'll
podcast
just
about.
dole it out every before each episode.
Yes. All right. So let's get the actual show started. Someone hasn't started in a while. Was it John? I think John needs to start.
I could start and I'll come out hot with my background image here. I love the Showa era Gojira films. I had not seen a single Godzilla movie ever until like last year.
Oh, sorry.
And then I ended up seeing Godzilla Minus One and I loved it. And like that was the newest one that just came out. And then someone had mentioned to me that it was very similar thematically to like the original. So I checked that one out and I love that one. And then my buddy lent me like a Blu-ray collection of every single one, like every single movie with Godzilla in it until like 1978 or something like that. I can't remember what year the last one is. And over the past few months, I've been going through those. And while I wouldn't say I loved every single movie, I definitely found something to enjoy in all of them, or something notable. So I'm not going to go through every single film, but I'll call out some highlights on what I liked. So the OG, you've got the whole like very philosophical, like what have we done with nuclear weapons, and you know, the hesitancy to bring a new weapon to humanity, even if its purpose is to, you know, save the country or planet potentially from Godzilla. And then the second movie, they kind of keep some philosophical themes, but you know, they really start to veer into like it's just kind of cool that there is this big monster. And then by the third movie, it's already King Kong versus Godzilla. So it's like, okay, we want to see big monsters fighting other big monsters. And having been a fan of the original King Kong, definitely enjoyed seeing King Kong coming onto the scene. I loved, even though they're maybe racially insensitive, I found myself very like mesmerized by all like the music and drumming and everything that all like the native island people did. And I loved that King Kong had lightning powers for some reason. As far as like the other monsters that come into play, big fan of Mothra, and in both forms, the moth form and the larval stage, and the tiny little twin princesses or whatever who come from Infant Island where Mothra lives, just inexplicably, but you know, they show up and they like communicate with Mothra, and then Mothra communicates with like the other monsters.
I wish you had like a little slideshow in the background through each one.
Yeah. I'll skip a couple now. The invasion of Astro Monster, like, very much struck a different theme. There's like these like weird people in the beginning who turn out to be aliens, but it feels very much like a Twilight Zone episode, like just the eeriness of these people and the interactions, and then how it turns out, you know, like they're actually controlling one of the kaiju. And you know, by this point, like Godzilla has already become a hero in some senses and is fighting off like these other monsters that are attacking humans. Then like Son of Godzilla comes along, and Godzilla's son is so derpy and incompetent and just kind of funny. And like I can't remember if it's Destroy All Monsters or All Monsters Attack, but one of them takes place completely in the imagination of this little boy who's dealing with bully issues. And similarly, Son of Godzilla is dealing with a bully on Monster Island, so they bonded through that. But yeah, then we get like into some of the robot stuff with like Mechagodzilla and all that stuff, and just fun to watch. At some point the monster fights are just like professional wrestling matches between guys in rubber suits, and rock ping pong or rock tennis becomes a big theme in a lot of the fights, where they're just like smacking rocks back and forth at each other. But yeah, they're all like, I've never had like a bad time watching one. They're just always fun to put on and see like, oh, what's gonna happen in this one. And I really loved how like the people of Japan just become so immune to how crazy everything is. It's just like, oh, Godzilla's back. Oh, and it's Rodan. Like, oh, and they're fighting each other. Like, it's they're not surprised by anything at some point.
I couldn't tell you which ones I've seen, but I have seen a few over the years. And like you said, they're never not entertaining. It's always just, it's kind of like some harmless fun in a way.
Oh, yeah. Dave, did you ever see any of these?
I've seen like a little bit on TV, but not a whole lot. Are these on like TMC Classics on like HBO Max?
Yes.
Yeah, definitely some of them are.
Okay, because I know I've seen some on there, and I know that I've like put one on, but it's one of those things that I've put on, and then when my wife walks in the room, she's like, "What is this? Turn it off." So I gotta try and watch it.
I would want to add, John, not rock tennis, but more like rock badminton. Notice how the rocks stay up in the air for a while.
That's true. Yeah, they do have a floaty quality to them.
Well, I grew up on these movies, man. Specifically, King Kong versus Godzilla and Sea Monster and Megalon. I know I've seen a Mechagodzilla because I remember thinking that was really fucking awesome looking. He has all those rockets from like every fucking orifice and finger and shit like that. But I will say though, King Kong versus Godzilla is King Kong is horrifying. You know, like his yell, his howl is up there for me, like almost as scary as an American Werewolf in London howl. You know, if you guys know your howls out there. But like it's really scary. I think the way he's put together is weird. Like his fur is like this matty orangey, like it doesn't look appealing, but he's just so you know, that's King Kong. After a while you're like, oh, that's, you know, undeniably him, because he fights that octopus and shit like that. And yeah, that was gross. I really like these, but I'm surprised you liked them, John. So you never wanted to watch them when you were a kid, or what?
Yeah, I mean, I guess not. I don't know.
A bit snobby, you think? You were just like, oh, it looks dumb. People
making toys. When I was a kid, like, I pretty much only ever watched comedies. So that, and not things that are ironically funny.
I want to go rewatch some of these other Godzilla movies, but I'm like, you know what? I've never seen the first one. So I did watch that, and holy shit, like it was hardcore. It showed like people actually dead from all the rubble, you know. Mm-hmm. It showed families like, okay, we're going to die. We're going to see father in heaven and shit. And the kids are like, are we really, mom? And he's like, oh yeah. You bet your ass. And then the fucking, when the women chorus, all those women are singing that prayer. That was amazing looking. Let'll live with me for a while. Yeah. But it's so bizarre to go from that very scary, dramatic horror movie to like Godzilla's just wacky and stuff, and
yeah, yeah, kind of clumsy, kind of. Yeah.
Oh man, I really need to watch, now that I've seen this first one, I really need to watch Shin Godzilla.
Yeah, I haven't watched that one yet either, but I definitely want to. And I also want to go back and watch like just like Mothra and like see like the origin story of some of the the side kaiju.
So are you interested in any of the newer ones, like the one coming out this week, or do you just kind of stick with the old school?
I mean, I'm definitely going to pay way more attention to any that come out than I would have previously, for sure.
Have you seen any of those? Like, specifically, why just this era? The next era is pretty bad, or what?
No, I just haven't gotten to it yet.
Oh. Okay. All right. that we might uncover something where I'm like, because I heard they get really weird, but I don't know. And that whole Son of Godzilla thing, I think he looks bizarre. The son?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know if I will watch that movie.
And he's always just like, he's trying to do like the heat breath, but he just blows like these little vape rings.
Oh my God. He was vaping back then, like all kids do now. Oh gosh. Oh Jesus. Man, I could go on and on about these movies, but how did you feel about Jet Jaguar, our first ever Jaeger?
Loved him. Especially like how he became sentient when he needed to be, and then when the threat was conquered, then he just became a normal robot again.
I never saw any movie with the golden guy behind you, the king. What's his fucking name?
Oh, Ghidorah.
The three-headed. Yeah, I've never seen a movie with him in it because after a while I just stopped watching these movies. But I saw him in the American Godzilla King of the Monsters, and he was really awesome in that movie. So I want to go back and watch actual movies with him, because apparently he's like the main villain. He's like the Joker to Godzilla's Batman.
Yeah,
well, that's what I hear.
He comes from outer space, so
you know. That's great.
I was also surprised like how many of the storylines were aliens.
Oh, right.
Or people, I guess, from under the sea.
Don't watch Matthew Broderick's Godzilla 97, I think. Don't watch it. Don't do it. It's an abomination, man.
I second that. That was really bad.
No, oh. I can't skip just one.
Oh, no, don't do it, man. Actually, you know what? All these American Godzillas, they don't seem to do it. Like, I think the closest one we've had was the Bryan Cranston one, but I didn't think it was that great. I don't know. I thought it was disappointing. Yeah. Yeah. Well, segue challenge. Da, 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 da. Someone do a segue so we can change topics.
Nope, not going to do it. Wow. So there's other Godzilla movies.
So defiant. So let us smash through this town and on to a bigger topic. Scott, go ahead.
All right, let's do your hate. Oh. I feel like you need to choose.
I could go.
It's a good topic. It's yeah. A fun.
All right. Oh my gosh. Okay. So, you know, we were talking before, like, should we drop some topics? And I was thinking maybe I'd drop this one, but it's fine. I will discuss this. I hate pickup lines.
I'm not going to twist your arms. You don't want to do it. You're like sitting there just mad. I guess we'll do it. Bye.
What a bully. Okay. I hate pickup lines. You know, from what you can tell from the sitcoms and all that shit, they're like these corny lines, right? Like, did it hurt? And she's like, what? Get away from me, ew. Spray. You know, that's as far as I get in those pickup lines. But it's like, first of all, they're almost always cheesy, the ones that I hear. And I'm like, I'm not a cheesy man. You know, like I believe in originality when I'm trying to tell jokes and stuff. So it has to happen organically. I can't just come in with a line like ever. I also wouldn't be interested in a girl who would fall for such a pickup line. You know what I'm saying? Like don't fall for this line of bullshit. DJ Maddie Nice, who I've recorded with before, when I lived with him, he kind of introduced me to the night scene, as it were. And holy shit, that motherfucker would go through the bar and fucking, he could get turned down 12 times, but he'd always get at least the one yes. And he's like, see, that's how it goes, bro. I'm like, no, I couldn't handle all that rejection and all that shit, you know? But he doesn't mind it. In fact, he likes to go after the more meaner girls. Like he makes, yeah, he's DJ's an interesting man. But he would just have all these lines already. All these fake ways of like, oh, I notice, you know, hey, like he would always make it seem like he's stumbling upon some subject matter or something, right? And fucking some girls fall for it. I think that's a little different than the corny pickup lines, but those are like just straight up lies to me, you know? Like yeah,
I feel like they're not falling for the line. They're just seeing that you're interested in them. So they're like, okay, yeah, let's have a conversation. So if you did a line and they fell for it, it would be because they're like, oh, this boy is adorable and he's talking to me. So let's convo it up. Maybe you look at it from that perspective.
Yeah, well, I think they're just going to acknowledge that you have the confidence to go talk to them. And I think I like pickup lines because they've evolved into just like a joke or like a style of like a joke where you say it and it's corny and it's cheesy and it's meant to be at this point. Like, and it's just like, okay, what kind of like stupid, clever joke that's just like two sentences long can you come up with, or did you find? Like, you can go on the internet and just find like a million of them, I'm sure.
But yeah, my favorite one I've heard is, hey, are you Magic the Gathering? Because I could see myself wasting thousands of dollars in the better part of my 20s on you.
Oh, that's amazing.
I think that would work more on a man.
Worked on me.
I always thought it would be, like, I've never done one of these little pickup lines because I'm a huge pussy, and but I always thought of a way out. It would be like, hey, can I get you a drink? And if they said no, just start crying, like fake crying. okay, all right, that's fine. But then just go back to normal, like, all right, you're fine, see ya.
I like it. A little acting reel you give them.
This is the kind of humor you're missing, Ange.
So wait a minute, Dave, you said you like them. Have you used them? Is that how you are married? Oh, no. Today?
No, I am super confident talking to women when I'm just talking to three guys. I'm super confident about it. But you take me out of this bubble and you put me into a bar with a bunch of girls, I'm just going to stand there and just not say anything. Like, I don't know. I've never been one for approaching women in any way. So, like, I met my wife. We just happened to be coworkers, and I would just find a way to, like, hang out with her. And then I was kind of like George Costanza, where I'd, like, try and say something funny. And then be like, all right, got to go. Leave it on a high note. See you guys later. And I would just, like, try to say, like, one funny thing just so she would be like, who is that guy? He's mysterious and kind of funny. Just to leave a good impression and then walk away before I, like, you know, reveal too much of my unfunny awkwardness.
And it worked.
What about you, John? Have you used these dreaded pickup lines?
No, absolutely not.
You're more like, I'm slowly going to insert myself into this woman's life, and before she knows it, you're living with her. You know what?
I'm going to sneak in with a good 3 to 5 years of platonic friendship, and then
that was started. Was it friendship at first?
Yeah,
it you was. See, there's nothing wrong with that. And if anything, that's my fucking tactic. Slowly beat you down throughout the years. And then they're like, you know, that Vince guy, he never really hit on me. He treated me like a human being and shit like that. If anything, he seems like he thinks he's the hot one out of the group. You know what I mean? So. And
what a tactic.
Dude, I'm serious when I'm saying that. The other thing is, you know, that's when you're at bars and shit. So when you're at a house party, there's almost no need because you all know someone there. There's some, you know, way to break the ice instantly. So that's what I prefer. I am not much of a, you know, get up there and like, hey, can I buy you a drink? I did that once, but I was with like six dudes and there was two women, and there was the hot one, and then, you know, the friend. And everyone was fighting for the hot one. I end up with the friend. Yes. So let that be a story and lesson. But hey, did it hurt?
What?
when you fell off that topic and onto another one.
Nice. I like that.
All right. Who up?
All right, Scott, pick another one.
I think Scott's got it in him for a topic.
Let's. I mean, what? We got a indifferent now?
Yes.
Well,
yeah.
Do Dave's or mine?
Go ahead, Scott. Go.
Mine is just trying new food. I'm pretty indifferent to it. I mean, once I like something, I kind of just stick with it. I started to try more new food in my late 20s. And then I'm always just kind of like, eh, for the most part. Every once in a while, you'll find that little something where you're like, I gotta have it more now. But well, for the most part, it's pretty just kind of like, okay, well, I'd rather just continue on eating this yummy to my tummy stuff as opposed to this thing that's fine.
Do you get tired of anything ever?
I eat burritos, chili, and spaghetti all the fucking time. And no, I do not get tired of it. And then chicken. So that's pretty much the four things I eat.
Holy shit. Well, I'll add something really quick. You mentioned chicken. So because of, you know, my eating habits are probably just like yours, Scott, where I'm like, I want pizza, chips, beer, you know, just keep them coming, get a chocolate, you know, whatever I fucking want at all times. And then, you know, this year they're like, sir, you have the blood pressure of a, I don't know, something that has high blood pressure. Like, you got to lower it. And he's like, you got to cut out beef and pork and start eating chicken. So that's been a huge change. So I've been eating a lot of like new stuff, variations of old favorites.
You didn't typically eat chicken. Like, that wasn't kind of in your rotation? Chicken wasn't?
It was. It's just that I love my tacos and I love my pizza, you know, this and that. And as soon as he was like, oh, you got to cut down on all this, chips, you know, all that shit. So now it's all about new stuff.
I even today just made like chicken tacos. So it's something to think about. Make some chicken tacos.
Yeah, I want to. I've just been going to like Taco Bell or any Mexican restaurant with chicken tacos. That has been the one thing I've been eating like for a month now. Lots of chicken tacos. Yes.
So is your doctor aware that vegetables exist?
No, he mentioned the vegetables and stuff, and you know, I'm eating way more fucking mixed nuts and really cutting down on the chips. That sucks. Such a bleak world without chips. Oh god. What about you guys? You guys are adventurous?
I love trying new foods. I mean, I definitely have my go-tos if I just want, okay, I want something and I want to know that it's good. Like I have those things in the rotation, but like for example, at my old job, there was like this Chinese place we went to like once a week at lunch, and my one coworker got the same thing every single time for, you know, however many years we were doing it. And I just rotated, like I tried every single lunch special they had on the menu over that time, which was like, you know, 30 of them or something like that. And I love trying like new cuisines. Like if there's like a kind of food I've never had before, like, you know, like Ethiopian food, Thai food, Peruvian, you know, whatever. Like I love trying it out. I'm always like looking on my phone app, seeing like, oh, any new recommended place restaurants around me I should try, and if there's something new, I'll go check it out. Love that stuff.
So you live in a big city, right?
Yeah, Minneapolis.
Yeah. So that, like, when I first worked in Tulsa, like on Saturdays, me and my coworkers, we would all get takeout from like a different restaurant. And I loved it because it was always something new. And like, it was the first time I'd like been in a big city, because we would get like Greek food and our like Mediterranean food. And it was just like, I didn't know what to get. So I'd kind of just like, okay, that kind of looks good. I'm like, I'm not really sure what lamb is, but you know, give it a try. And like, I was surprised at how much I enjoyed the new variety, because I'm kind of just a slave to the, like the cheeseburgers and pizza and tacos and spaghetti and just the same old thing. I do like trying new stuff, but sometimes I find like when I was trying like sushi, I got like, there's a sushi restaurant in the town I live in, and I tried like three different kinds and I found one that I really liked. And that was like 4 years ago, and I've never tried a different kind. Just every time I get the same one. So I'm like, I feel like I like to try new things, but if I find something I really like, I won't change it. I'll just stick with it.
Yeah.
Chinese food is something that I never ate until like mid-20s. And I was super happy that I decided to try it, because it's so fucking good. Like, and actually I never really ate egg rolls until recently. I started to enjoy those. That's a new thing that I've eaten recently. Drool.
Try the crab rangoon.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah. Oh my god. Anything else? Segue challenge.
Shall we sample a new and exotic topic?
Why, yes. Dave, I think you have the floor.
All right. I'll do my love. I love ELO, Electric Light Orchestra. This is a band that was from the 70s. Their lead singer is Jeff Lynne. He's kind of like the creator and the head guy of the band. Electric Light Orchestra, I feel like I love this band so much. They have so many great songs. I feel like they're super underrated. Like when you think of like big bands from like that era, you know, everybody always thinks of, you know, like Pink Floyd, The Who, The Stones. But like in ELO, like Electric Light Orchestra, I feel like they're kind of a victim of their name, because their name is just kind of weird and generic sounding. So like people don't know like who Jeff Lynne is. So I feel like that kind of hampers them, their name. So I feel like that makes them underrated. But like musically, they're just like incredible. I feel like they're British. Their first album came out in like 71, and they've come out with stuff ever since then. He's still around. He's probably like 80 years old or close to it now. And he has a tour, like the final tour is going on this year. Their Electric Light Orchestra has like this fusion of sounds where he was heavily influenced by the Beatles, because he listened to the Beatles as he was growing up. So their sound is like similar from like the Beatles meets Pink Floyd meets like more disco era that's more modern, like the Bee Gees. All of it's very like up tempo, like awesome beats that are super fun, and then they add in like the classical strings to it, which give it like this big grand sound. And the way that they, I don't know, just all of their songs, they have so many awesome hits. And everybody, like, if you think you don't know who they are, it's like once you listen to their music, you're like, oh, I do know them, because they're in like soundtracks for like a million different movies. Most recently and most was Mr. Blue Sky with Guardians of the Galaxy. But like also there's one of them is in like I think Billy Madison from like the 90s. Telephone Line, I think it was like a little scene with Steve Buscemi, when he's like crossing Billy Madison off the list. They start playing one of the ELO songs. But like, it's, I don't know. I just, anytime I play their music, I have a playlist of like 15 or 16 songs. Like, I will be driving and I'm just like smiling ear to ear, just like, oh my gosh, I love this song. This is a great one.
I will say that in preparation, I searched them and listened to the first two songs. They just so happen to be Telephone Line and Mr. Blue Sky. Mr. Blue Sky, I immediately was like, oh my God, I know this song. I've always, anytime I hear this song, I enjoy it. And they do have such a vibe that when you mentioned how you would drive and just smile, when I listened to them before this, I was just, it like put me at this ease. It was so relaxing and fun to listen to.
I had no idea that. I thought it was like EDM, like, you know, electric dance music or something. Like, I think there's a band that's kind of has a big wordy title too. But as soon as I played it, I'm like, oh, this song, this song, this song. I had no idea that was from the same band, but I really liked it. Positive, very upbeat, like you said. It really reminds me of Supertramp. They're from the 70s as well. Oh my God, their stuff is good too. Strange Magic, I think. Like that, I just love when they actually get to that part. That's so good. Had no idea they had Evil Woman from Austin Powers Goldmember, where I'm like, oh, now I just picture Frau Barbissina and Dr. Evil making out. I'm like, oh, gross.
I forgot that song was in that movie. Oh my God.
And then, just a lot of, Don't Bring Me Down. And then it's like, Bruce, like that. Jesse and I, an old friend of ours, like we would sing that part just because that thing was so fun to sing along with the falsetto and shit. It was great.
That's what I was going to say. Rockin' beats, falsetto harmonies, synth pop rock, like so good. Turn to Stone, love that song. I had never knowingly listened to them, similar to what you were talking about. But what's that, Out of the Blue, that album? Like, I think that's going to go into my regular rotation going forward, actually, now, because there's so many good songs on that one alone, even.
Oh, I'll have to check it out. Oh, Dave, how did you discover this band? Was this, like, from childhood, from your parents, or college?
So, like, I think I was listening, or I was watching the movie American Hustle with, like, Bradley Cooper and Christian Bale. And I don't even remember the numbers. It's 10538 Overture is a song that is like in the movie, and it's just like this really cool like theme music. I don't know, it's just a bunch of strings and it just sounds like really grand and epic sounding. And like, I was listening, I'm like, oh, that's awesome. So then like I searched them based off of that song, and then I bought a record player and I was at a record store and I was looking up Electric Light Orchestra. I mean, I saw it and then I started looking and I was like, where's that one song? Because I only knew the one song from that movie. And then I found like a greatest hits album that had that album on it. And I bring it up there and the guy who owns the record shop, there was like four or five ELO records. He looks at, he's like, oh, which one did you get? You know, because I was looking at all the ELO records and he saw it and he looked over. He's like, oh, this is a good one. And I don't know if he was just saying that or if he actually agreed. But like this album was really good. So I listened to it and it had like Evil Woman on there. And I had always heard that song on the radio and I never really liked it. But then I'm like repeated listening. I was like, actually, this is a pretty good song. And then more recently, what did I hear? I think it was either Do Ya or Living Thing. And I love Living Thing. It's such a cool song to me. And I started to just go through all of their songs on Apple Music, like from their most played and just going down. And I was just shocked at how many of the songs I knew. And I was like, man, I didn't know they did this song. And then it just kind of snowballed. one of the reasons I liked it was just the positivity and the beats. It made me feel really happy. And also I felt a little bit of regret because the last time I said I liked an album, it was Linkin Park, Minutes to Midnight. And like, I feel like that is kind of like a depressing album to listen to. So I felt like if you guys listen to that, I needed some redemption to be like, hey, here's some positive music that's not going to make you depressed.
Depression is fine. Dude, Radiohead, I listen to that all the time. So I'm ready for it. I expect it. I'm like, you know, I've had way too many horrible relationships. I'm like, okay, if she's not cheating, I don't know what's going on. Kidding.
One other soundtrack for a movie they're in is Kingpin, my favorite sports bowling movie.
Which scene? Which
Showdown?
One?
Showdown with Bill Murray. It's the scene where Bill Murray and Munson. Yeah, when they're going for the showdown and they're one-on-one. It's like towards the end of the movie, and it's, you know, they're broadcasted by ESPN reporters and they're having their thing and it's like a showdown, and he's got like his, they have like the coolest montage where Bill Murray's hair, his toupee is like flapping in the wind. And it's just like the funniest movie scene, and it has an ELO song in the background. And I'm like, man, this is perfect.
That's great. Well done. Segue challenge.
Let's go ahead and groove on to another topic.
Johnny, you back up?
I can, I'll go with my hate, which is how skeptics are portrayed in like media, like in films and books and shows and stuff. So specifically, like if you think about shows that ostensibly take place in the real world, except there's, you know, some element of magic to it, and there's always like some guy who like, oh, I don't believe any of this stuff, this is bogus, and then is proven wrong, because in this movie, there is magic. So this just happens over and over again in all these things. But like in the real world, there aren't these, you know, these magical one-off scenarios. So like the skeptics are actually correct, but they're just, you know, getting shit on by every movie out there. And it just gives, you know, people who engage in magical thinking a way to, you know, like feel like, oh, you know, maybe I actually am right, because I see myself being proven right over and over and over again.
Is it because you identify as a skeptic, John?
Oh, for sure. Yeah. I mean, this is 100% me taking it personally. Yeah.
That's so funny. Okay, well, all I wrote down was that in movies, especially with like biopics, they sometimes have a character be like, you know, you're gonna fail. Why would you even pick up a guitar and shit like that or something? And they're like, oh, that, you know, my father said that. And then they're like, the dad's like, no, I was completely supportive, but you know, they needed it to be dramatic and shit like that. Same, I guess they did that in that Bohemian Rhapsody movie, where they're like, the producer heard Bohemian Rhapsody. He's like, this is going to be amazing. I support you guys so much. I love you guys, you know? But in the movie, he's like, oh, it's trash. You know what I mean? I'm going to burn it right now in front of you and shit like that. But they changed it for the movie, and the producer just, he's like, dude, what the fuck, man? Okay, so this happens a lot in, like, JFK, remember? He's like, oh, he's trying to do the right thing and prove this case or whatever. But the wife, it's always the wife. She's like, I can't stand this. You're obsessed. I'm going to mothers. You know what I mean? I'm taking the kids. And I don't even think that was true. But it's just, that's a cliche that happens where, like, the wife, who's supposed to be supportive or whatever, just does not.
Oh yeah. Another good example of that, I just rewatched Close Encounters of the Third Kind. And like, yeah, like he's like literally like shoveling dirt in through the window, and they make her look bad for like being fed up with it.
So wait a minute, if Rochelle was piling up a big pile of dirt, you would be like, I'm going to Mother's.
Yes. And I'm taking the house plants.
That's awesome. Oh, the other thing I have to include, because I remember seeing this so many times in movies where you know, the kid is like, oh, mom, Chucky is real and he's killing people. And the mom is like, does not believe that her kid. I always hated that because my mom believed me when I said something. You know, I was, you know, maybe it's because I never really lied, but like, you know.
Maybe because you're not saying a doll is killing people. It's completely insane.
Yeah, I turned my back. I'm like, do what you want to do, Chuck. I'm not gonna live with this. Oh my god. But no, just she would always believe me, I guess. I don't know. And I always hated that cliche of parents not believing their kids and stuff. But finally, Iceman thinks that Maverick is dangerous and should not be a pilot or whatever in the movie Top Gun. And guess what? He is correct. That's like the one skeptic who's like, yes. Remember that, Scott? Where Tom Cruise is like, I am dangerous.
If you haven't already, go ahead and check out our Top Gun review.
Oh, can you find that and download it on www.mymovierecollection.com?
Why, you can. With a simple click of the mouse. Nobody has mice anymore, do they?
No. Everyone just uses eye tracking and stares at what they want to click on.
What is that ancient relic in your hand, Scott?
What about you guys? Any other skeptic things pop out?
Has anybody seen the movie Don't Look Up with Leonardo DiCaprio and Jennifer Lawrence?
No.
No.
Okay, it's on Netflix. It's worth a watch, I think. It's really funny. It's just a satirical movie. And it's kind of like Leonardo DiCaprio is basically like a super smart scientist, like a guy who's astrologist or whatever. And he discovers that there's like an asteroid that's coming towards Earth, and it's going to hit Earth and we're all going to die. And he's trying to go and spread the word to everyone and tell them. So he's like, he's going on to like morning news, like the Today Show, like those morning news shows. And he's like telling them like, hey, the world's going to end. This asteroid is going to hit the planet and we're all going to die. And they're all just like, quit being such a downer. And they're like, are we even sure this is real? I don't think so. And it was like him just going around telling like the plain obvious truth, like, hey, look up, like you can see that something bad's going to happen, but nobody believes him. And then like he goes and he tells like the president of the United States, he gets like a meeting. But then like all the politicians are like, well, actually scientists have discovered that this asteroid is made of like some rare mineral. And when it hits the Earth, that mineral is going to cover the Earth and then we'll all be rich. So maybe we should just let it hit the Earth.
So spoiler, I've always wanted to watch this movie and just never did for whatever reason. But I'd love a spoiler and to know what happened at the end. Did it hit and they all became rich and just started buying a bunch of perfect?
Yeah, yeah, all the rich people. Bitcoin and lost it.
All the rich people just like got on a spaceship and hid or got into a bunker. And then all the poor people are just like, well, we're too stupid to stop anything. I don't know. I don't remember exactly what the ending was. So I don't know. You just have to watch it.
That's what I'm trying to avoid.
Honestly, the ending is not consequential to the movie at all. It's just like funny scenes.
Segue challenge?
I am skeptical if we're ready to move on. I'm willing to be proven wrong with enough concrete evidence.
Damn it. All right. I think I'm up. Let's see here. I want you guys to choose which one, my love or my indifference. I love paintball. I'm indifferent to superstitions.
Well, I mean, you have the background and stuff. It would seem kind of silly for you not to do that.
Oh.
Just have the background.
Oh, this is my art. All right, fine. I
honestly
will...
didn't realize that was paintball. I just thought it was an art piece.
What's that board game? Left Foot Green, whatever. A Twister. Yeah. All right. Well, I'll discuss my love. And I love fucking paintball, guys. I've only did this once, but that's all I needed. I fucking it was for a bachelor party, and a coworker that was a friend, tie into Dave's thing. He was like, hey, man, bachelor party, you're fucking showing up. We're paintballing. I'm like, wow, my God, I've never fucking did that before. And I've known people that have done that. I've had roommates, couple roommates, where they got all the gear. They have sponsors and stuff. And, you know, you see them on websites and shit, taking it way too seriously. So I'm just like, I don't know about this paintball thing, guys. But, yeah, I'll go. And, fuck, it was fun. It was scary as well, because those things hurt, you know. So you're immediately put into the mindset of, like, you know, any war movie or shoot 'em up thing that you've ever seen. You know, you start thinking like, okay, what do I gotta do? I gotta get low, and when I fire, I gotta fire quicker than the other person, you know, shit like that.
Oh, and, let me write that down.
So it was so cool. We were in. It was a cool location. There's a lot of different settings, you know, wood stuff, hills. Then you could go into, like, where they have obstacles, like cars and walls, fake walls and shit like that. That's more fast paced, which was fine. But I preferred, like, going through the woods and shit like that. That was really, really cool. Again, I have to say that it hurts. Like, that's the one thing where it's like, oh God, you really don't want to get shot. And you kind of feel bad when you shoot someone as well. You really start like, oh my God, I hope this doesn't stick with me, like some sort of, you know, PTSD or something like that. You know, I don't want a 1,000-yard stare after this. But then you get douchebags in any group where he's like, I brought my own customized gun, and this shoots, like, I don't know, 50 paintballs in like 2 seconds, where everyone else is using the rentals, and it's just like, pew, pew, you know.
I've always wanted to do it, but I just don't like to be hurt, so that kept me away from it.
No, they're emotional. They're emotional bullets, Scott.
I have this weird, unusual thing where I don't like pain. I don't know.
I just have to mention, one of the coolest things was a movie recreation that happened live, where I'm like, oh, I got my guy. He's like one of the last ones. I could see him, right? And I'm like, oh, I feel light. How many bullets do I have? And open it up, one bullet left. And these things are timed. You get like 15 minutes, I think, and it doesn't seem like enough, and sometimes it isn't, but then you have to rush. But yeah, one bullet left, take the shot, got it. Oh, so good.
Do you like the Community episodes of?
I was just gonna bring those up
because those are amazing.
You know, I gotta say, they weren't wearing protective eye gear, which is a major, major thing. I got, yeah, you know, like,
all right, Mr. Safety here.
I can't watch this shit. Protective eye gear.
Have any of you guys ever done this or have wanted to?
Never done it. Never wanted to. I had coworkers who were super into it, and all I would ever see is like, oh man, look at this welt I got on my chest. Like, okay, why? Why would I want to do that? And then I heard stories of, like, people, like you said, taking their own guns to, like, otherwise kind of casual events, and then, like, cranking up, like, the pressure or whatever, the PSI. So they're, like, shooting way harder than they would ever need to, and just, like, actually like hurting people and like, yeah, I'm just like, oh, I don't need that.
What about you guys? No desire. Like if I was like, motherfuckers, get in, we're gonna go paintballing, you wouldn't?
There's no way I'm going. Like,
oh,
I've
shit.
Done it like twice. It was horrible. Like, I could go on for an hour about all the things I hated about it.
Well, like, now's the time.
Okay. All right. So you touched on a couple points where you go there for fun, like a casual person like myself or you, and you have your rental, and then somebody goes to the trunk of their car and pulls out their, like, you know, their $400 paintball gun, and then you're there with strangers, and you're like, you're there with your friends, but then there's like, well, you only have five people you're with, and then there's another group of five people. You're like, all right, we'll go against each other. But then the other team is like way over competitive. They're not trying to have fun. They're like people who play like too much Halo or Call of Duty, and they're just like, oh, come on, we're gonna just destroy them. And like, we're just trying to play like a normal game where you're on that side, we're on this side, and we're just going to try and eliminate people. But no, they're like walking outside of the play area into the woods, like over through the parking lot, and they snuck up all the way behind us, and then they all just shot us in the back, and they're like, haha, we win. And we're like, there's like boundaries of the course, you can't just like leave, but they're like, oh, we won.
Yeah, well, just, like, Charlie didn't follow the boundaries in NAM, so why should I?
Exactly, that's probably what they're saying, those assholes. I don't know, there's tons of douchebags, and it's unless you have like a group of guys that you know and you can play with that are not going to be like assholes and be good sports, it just sucks the fun out of it. Because there were some instances where we were like playing in the woods, and there was tons of like leaves and like down trees, tons of good places to hide. And like the hide and go seek aspect of it was the best part, where you're just trying to stay hidden and like camouflaged. And then someone walks by and you just pop up and you can, you know, shoot them in the back of the knee or something. That was really fun. But just, I don't know, the people just kind of ruin everything for me.
That's a nice way to take someone down. Just shoot the leg.
I feel like it's the worst place to shoot, because then you're going to have a hurt fucking knee and you're going to be walking around like, damn, Dave, damn it. Can barely walk now.
But it's great if you shoot them in the back of the thigh or like the ass, because then it just, they'll just, you know, and they'll either like fall down to a knee, or they'll just kind of, there's like an involuntary like yelp someone will make if they get shot in the ass and they don't see it coming.
Oh, okay. So
I just, we had not shooting anyone anywhere else, but just aiming for the ass the entire time. I only do ass shots. Ass shots.
There was a ref, you know, you go in there with a ref, and you know, he's got like the striped shirt or whatever, but like our guy was clearly like a stoner dude. Just like, what's up, man? So we're going to go in there. And, you know, he barely wanted to tell us the rules, because he's like burned out, not on weed, but just his career choice. He's like, this is my fucking life. You know what I mean? Because later on we're playing and he has to kind of walk around, you know, he has to kind of move about and stuff. And we don't really have any like distinguishable things. They're like, hey, this is your enemy, or hey, that's on your team, right? And neither does he really. You know, he's got the white stripes, but like in a forest, it could all be muddled. So I shot him. And then he was walking, right? I shot him. He stops, and you could just go, he was just over it, because it occurred to me like, what time of day is this? How often does he do this? How often does he get shot accidentally? Because towards the end, someone shot near him and he was talking to us, and he's like, motherfucker, and he just grabbed one of our guns and went poof, poof, shot someone who shot near him. He was just ready to snap. It was nuts. But god damn it, man, like, I will do this again. So none of you fuckers will join my paintball team. Fine, I'll Rambo it.
To Dave's point, if it was a situation where, you know, it was all friendlies and cashes, better word. I could imagine doing that, but yeah, I would not want to be like in a situation where unknowns are involved.
I also got to say, it's a slight bonding experience when you make someone hurt or you hurt them, or, you know, they hurt you. Yeah, you're like, hey, you fucking shot me, asshole.
Like, I would go out there like, all right, let's do this, guys. And then be shot immediately and go, well, this fucking sucks. Guess I'll go sit on that log.
Oh, it's so much fun. I will want to do this again eventually, but with some right, other podcast.
One time, and I want to hear your referee ruling on this. I shot at a guy. He's got the paintball gun right in front of his face. And you know, there's like the hopper of like all the paintballs that are like sitting in that plastic thing on top of the gun. I shot him and it hit the hopper right here, right in front of his face. And it's like, and he's like,
face?
It hit the gun, didn't hit me. And I'm like, but if that was like a bullet in real life, like it would have hit you in the fucking head and you'd be dead. So I'm like, what more do you want from me?
All right, your gun's been disabled. Set it down.
Exactly. Like if this was Call of Duty, that would be a headshot and you'd have to go back to your spawn point. All right.
The paint has to make contact with, I think that was in the rules, Dave.
Dave, I think you would have been, you're lucky, you would have been kicked the fuck out and banned for shooting a guy in the head.
Headshots is fine. Like I said, as long as you're wearing your eye protection, guys, yeah, it's fine.
Looking at fucking you, Joel McHale.
Hiding behind something and everyone's just like peering over and then they'll poke their head up and then they'll hang back down. It's super annoying.
Yeah, I've seen that professional paintballing or whatever. It doesn't look fun at all. They've taken all the joy out of that because they're just so like moving like fucking Navy SEALs or something. You know what I mean? Yeah. So no, thank you. You know what? I won't play paintball ever again. All right. Segue challenge.
Shall we reconnoiter and rally our troops and
swap out our air cartridges?
Yes. Scott, I believe you're next.
Well, you just did a love, so I mean, my hate's not a very fun one to talk about.
Do your love.
You know what? I will. So my love is Adult Swim shows. Those are the animated programs at the end of the evening on Cartoon Network. And I first saw them when I was about 14. I saw an episode of C-Lab 2021, and it was an episode where they go back in time. Stormy keeps fucking things up, and they keep getting blown up into the past. And over, and it was just the funniest thing to me. My small little brain had never seen anything of such. And from there, I started watching like Space Ghost Coast to Coast, where he interviews celebrities, and Awkward Teen Hunger Force, and I just bought into the whole thing. Everything about it was amazing. All these programs were so funny. They had old stuff from the WB that didn't make it after a season, Mission Hill, The Oblongs. They started showing stuff from Fox like Family Guy and Futurama, shows that like Family Guy I had just gotten into as well around the same time, about season three. And it was just a beautiful time for me in discovering new programs. And there's never been a time I feel like that moment where I found so much in one place that just really wet my whistle or poked my pickle, or I don't know how you would say it as a normal person. And I still to this day can't get enough of them. I'll throw them on every once in a while. I'm with this group online that they do torrents where someone will have taped an entire night from 2007, and it'll just go play through these episodes, and it's like I'm back as a, you know, young adult watching Tom Goes to the Mayor, and
I was gonna shout that one out.
Just so good. There's so much about, like, there's very little from that era that I did not like. And as the years go by, there are still ones I gravitated towards, like Xavier, Delocated, and some that just I never really got into, like 12 Ounce Mouse. But from there, you know, C-Lab, you get Adam Reed, the creator, and then you go and follow his career, and then suddenly he has a new show called Archer, and you're like so excited. And I started to follow their careers and to see what else. Frisky Dingo, I could go on. It's just, I love all these shows so much, and I'm probably going to have to watch them now after this podcast.
Yeah, those were like a staple for me in college, especially I had a night security job. I had to like patrol the dorms when everyone was sleeping from like midnight till 7. So instead of doing that, I would just go in like the rec room of the dorm and sit and watch Adult Swim for an hour, and then like move on to the next dorm and then watch it there for an hour and move on. So most of the shows that you mentioned were like of that era and are, yeah, really got me through some boring nights.
Burglaries were at an all-time high. I gotta mention Home Movies. That's from UPN or some shit, I don't remember, but they were picked up by Adult Swim, and I love Home Movies. It really struck a chord with me. Frisky Dingo, that first season, don't watch season 2. In my opinion, it ruins everything. And
you're insane. I think they're both so good. I'm a little bummed that the third season didn't happen. They did make 2 episodes of the Exticles. I don't know if you ever saw that, yeah. But those guys were so boosh, like just so funny.
Oh yes. Metalocalypse, I really like that. It's, if anything, that's helped me kind of appreciate metal, if anything. You know, I'm like, ew, gross, it's loud and, you know, angry and shit. But without them, I probably never would have checked out Megadeth, and that was awesome. Joe Pera Talks With You. This is not animated. This is one of their live action things. Sadly, it got canceled after 3 seasons, but I recommend that show. That was going to be a future love, Joe Pera. That's such a great show for me.
That is that I never actually checked that show out. He's more of like the low talker, right? Like kind of nice person.
Yeah.
Goes around, does something. I don't know. Like I said, I haven't really seen it.
I recommend it. Like it. Oh, and then what do I got to say? Finally, Venture Brothers. That was going to be a future indifference to me personally.
Oh, really?
I wish they could stop referencing everything and come up with an original thought once. I don't know. This is a future indifference. Like I said, I'll save it.
I really liked, I remember watching, like when I was like a younger kid, I would always watch like Rugrats and Doug and Ah Real Monsters and stuff like that. But then like my dad would always say, why don't you watch something educational? Turn off the cartoons. So like in my head, I just kind of listen to him and I'm like, I'm an adult now. I need to stop watching cartoons. So I stopped watching cartoons. And then at some point, I think my sister introduced me to Aqua Teen Hunger Force. And I started to watch it and I was like, this is so stupid, but it's so funny. And like the episodes are just like 15 minutes long. So they're like nice little bite size. And it was the whole thing was just great because the whole vibe on that channel, like all of the advertisements and like the lead-ins to the episodes and the advertisements for other shows, it all had the same vibe and it was like super well produced. So like saying that there was home like movies of people who recorded that with everything on it, that sounds super fascinating to me because that was like one of the things I remembered was just like the ambiance and the feeling of watching it while it was happening. It was just enjoyable.
They had like these bumpers in between shows where it felt like they were talking directly to you. So that was really neat. I used that as a tactic when I went to college for a year and worked at, or I was part of the campus station. I'd put little bumpers like that in between like music videos that would play throughout the night.
That's awesome. The music that was very united because it was one artist, Flying Lotus. I would recommend his stuff. It's all very weird, heavily sampled stuff, but he kind of samples himself. But yeah, like very unique. He did, I think, the majority of the music for Adult Swim's little commercials and shit like that. Pretty sweet. Finally. Okay, so they're so bizarre, right? And the guy who's running it all, oh, man, I don't remember his name anymore. But there was a pitch stream where you would pitch your show to Adult Swim producers. And that guy, he would be sitting in on, he would be like one of the three guys, almost like Shark Tank, but like, you're like, okay, this cartoon's really weird and it's fucked up and shit, because that's what they're looking for all the time. You know, sometimes he's like, not fucked up enough. No, it's too, it's too logical or something like that. Like he really has a brand that he's looking for and shit. And I'll say this, Scott, your show Crude Dudes, I'm telling you, man, show them one of those things.
I forgot all about that being a thing with that you were trying to get me to do.
Yes.
But to me, I was just like, I'm too scared to do something like that. I'd rather just make the show and then, okay, moving on. But I do think it's a fun concept. And I think that it would be something you might stumble across on Adult Swim. And hopefully someone steals that idea and
it
eventually
and makes millions.
God damn it.
I can go, yeah, I could have. Fuck!
Oh, God. No, I want me to produce it and get rich. And then you're like, I'm going to kill that motherfucker.
Hey, Vince, we should meet up, Like, oh, really? You've never mentioned this before. No, we should. Let's meet up.
At the top of these stairs, I'm like, I'm not pregnant, asshole. Very fat with cash. All right. Segway challenge. The bump. Let's
swim on to the next topic.
Oh yeah. Dave, bring us back home or whatever it's called, whatever the term is.
Do you want my hate or my indifference?
Ooh.
I want those.
What's Did your you think both? Oh, your indifference is Dave Grohl and your hate is gardening.
What do you have more to say about? Which one are you more passionate about? Probably the hate, I would say.
Literally... Yeah. Yeah, I would say. Okay, so yeah, I hate gardening. I just bought a house like 2.5 years ago. So for the last 2 years, I've tried to garden. And this is my third year, and there ain't fucking no way I'm gardening ever. I'm not going to do it again until maybe I retire and I'm like 65 years old. I hate gardening so much. It's super expensive. You have to buy tons of shit. You got to till the land. You can either do it with like a motorized thing or by hand. It's all super tedious and takes a lot of work. You got to plant all your stuff, and like every different plant, there's different times you're supposed to plant it. You're supposed to plant them at different depths, different spacings. You have to treat them differently. So as like they start to grow, you're going to have to trim leaves on certain things. You're going to have to make sure that certain things like grow out like pumpkins or cucumbers. They'll sprawl in every direction, like vines on the ground. So you can't have them close to anything else or otherwise it'll overtake it. I learned that the hard way. I had cucumbers growing over and smothering everything that I tried to plant next to it. So
is that why you hate cucumbers, John?
Yep, that's exactly why.
Oh man, wait until you plant them in a garden, then you'll really learn to hate them.
wait till they're up your ass. You'll really hate them.
And then I took the cucumbers and then I jarred them and tried to pickle them, and the pickles were terrible. They're all squishy and gross. And it turns out they you have to put in, like, I don't know what it is, but pickles will generally get really soggy and squishy if you don't put in some certain ingredient. But gardening, you have to, like, water. Like, I'm from Oklahoma, and it's super hot. It'll be like 100 degrees in the summer or more. And you have to water in the morning and the evening, and you have to give them, like, shade protection so the sun doesn't just burn them up, like the leaves and stuff. Weeds will grow up everywhere. You have to constantly be attending to the weeds, and, like, weeds always would overtake everything. And it got to the point where I put down, like, I got, like, landscaping, like, plastic tarps, and, like, we're not supposed to, like, put plastic next to our foods because of, like, microplastics and stuff like that. But I'm like, if it stops the weeds, it'll make gardening easier. So I put all this plastic sheets on the ground, and then I covered it with mulch so that way the weeds wouldn't grow. The weeds didn't care. They had their own plan. They still grew through. All it did was, like, slow them down for, like, 2 weeks, and then the weeds took over. And it was,
like, we'll give you a 2 week head start.
Yeah. It was like I was doing fine with the garden, but then I think I, like, left and went on vacation for a week, and then I came back. And when I came back, it was just beyond, it was just in disrepair. There's nothing I could do to fix it. And it was like I know I spent hundreds of dollars at Lowe's on mulch and soil and fertilizer and all these different accessories, like different sprinklers and all of this for just some produce. And I can just go to Walmart and get produce there. So why am I wasting my time?
I have two questions. What made you want to try gardening? And why in the fuck would you want to do it at 65? When it sounds this
well, I feel like it's a full-time job. So, like, if I was 65 and retired, I would have the time in my day to actually put towards the effort. And I've learned that there's a better way to do it rather than just planting stuff in the ground. People have, like, raised flower beds with, like, their own soil and fertilizer in it, and that will cut down on the weeds. And it just makes maintaining them a lot easier. You're not down on your hands and knees. You can have them, like, you know, waist level, like 3 feet high. So being retired and having the time to do it, and also hopefully, like, when you imagine yourself retired, at least in my head, I'm a little delusional. So I'm like, I'll have the money to buy things, which I know I won't. I'll just be like, I'm poor and on Social Security.
Now I'm old and poor.
Yeah. And what was the other question? Oh, like, my sisters they're from Wisconsin, and they both have really nice gardens. However, they don't work full-time jobs, so they have the time to do it. So that's probably why their gardens look really nice and mine looks like crap. And they have kids who help them garden. So they'll be like, hey, go down this row, pick all the weeds in that row. And they'll kind of make it like a family outdoor activity. But yeah, I don't have any helping hands or anything.
Childhood labor.
So one of the perks of having kids, put them to work.
Wasn't that the whole thing with farmers? Like, Ma, we need ranch hands. Spread them.
All right. I'm sick and tired of this, Grandpa. Well, that's too damn bad.
gross. Oh. Gardening, not the making babies. Okay. Well, Scott, have you gardened before? And is there a desire?
I have gone. No. Wait, are you asking me, have I gardened before?
Yeah.
He's asking you.
I'm confused. And so what you're asking me is, no, I have a friend that does it. My dad likes to do it, but my dad doesn't work, so he has the time. And my friend kind of gave up on it, so I think that he kind of had a similar experience of, this isn't going as well as I thought it would. And I just never had an interest in gardening whatsoever. So I wouldn't say that I hate it, but I would give it a good suplex if I could pick up the ground, because I don't care at all for it. And I guess I'm indifferent.
I grew up with in Eau Claire, our grandpa, he liked to garden, so I think he might have instigated it, where he's like, hey, we're gonna have, help grandpa with the peas and the beans and stuff like that. So really awesome memories of that as a kid. I think it's like 5 years old and younger or something like that. But then when we moved to Nilsville, where we were at, the ground would not, it was a cruel mistress, as the sea says, or the sea would
Did
say about
your
fuck. Shit.
seeds struggle to find purchase in the unforgiving soil?
Yeah. Oh my God. It sucked. Yeah, the soil just was not right for it. Although trees are there, I don't know. I guess the dirt has to be like brown and rich. This was more clay. It was a very odd place where the house was. I remember I tried to plant a watermelon, and it was only this big. It was like the size of a little baby tomato. It was so cute. Did not
Yeah, that's what
taste
I was
very
gonna
good.
say. Like, up here in Wisconsin and Minnesota, we have different challenges than you have down where you are, Dave. So like, so I actually like, for living kind of in the city, have a decent sized backyard garden. But like our growing season is so short that like a lot of stuff, it just takes too long to mature and you can't even do it. Like Brussels sprouts, I was talking about recently, like it just, you plant them as early as you can and then it's like fall before they're even ready to eat and maybe you don't even get to. I totally agree that most stuff takes way more effort and I see myself getting more into it when I am not working anymore. However, what we've ended up doing is just converting all our garden space to stuff that comes back on its own every year, and you don't have to think about it. So we've got like raspberries and strawberries, a ton of asparagus, which is like one of my favorite things because like fresh asparagus from the garden is so much better than anything you would buy at the grocery store. Whereas like a lot of produce, it doesn't matter. It's like just as good at the grocery store.
Is your pee better after you eat full grown farm to table asparagus?
it's got that aroma that you just don't get from store bought. And then
Oh
now, yeah,
shit.
we really only have like a small section that we use for stuff that you plant every year. But like, once you've done it a long time, it just kind of gets easier too because we have like a big compost thing, and you just get pull compost out of there, and then that really helps stuff grow. And like this last year, I just had a tomato plant randomly show up that I didn't even plant, and I didn't do anything with it. And I ate tomatoes then later in the summer.
You ate them? Mysterious tomatoes?
Heck yeah.
What? Have you never seen Attack of the Killer Tomatoes?
I
Oh, God.
don't believe in stuff like
Cut to you being squashed by a giant
that.
tomato.
But yeah, we get plenty of rain here, so I like rarely, like if I forget to water, it's usually fine. And I don't know. Like it's but yeah, I definitely like we used to do a lot more stuff that I just don't bother with trying anymore, like sweet corn and like yeah, like we've tried doing watermelons and never had luck with it.
I do think gardening's neat. Like when my friend or my dad would talk to me about what they're growing and how it's going and showing me the progress, I think it's pretty neat just to kind of see all that. But yeah, I could never be partake.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of people, like whenever they talk about it, it's like they're always have these great stories and it's like romanticized and it's like, oh man, it was so great. I got this and this. And they make it like seem like it was easy. And I'm like, oh, I can do that too. And then I'm just like, no, it's like I can't do that. I'm a failure. I've tried and I've tried. And like now this year, I'm just like, well, I think I can plant some pumpkins because pumpkins are. They'll grow and you don't really have to put a lot of effort into it. They'll kind of just grow on their own and you can water them some, but if you don't water them for a week, it's not a big deal.
Don't give up, Dave. Don't give up. This is your year. This is your time to shine.
No, like now my thing in my yard is I have a mole in my front yard and it's like that freaking gopher from Caddyshack where I just can't freaking catch a thing. And I'm spraying castor oil in the front yard, like trying to deter it, like run to the neighbor's yard, get out of here. So if that doesn't work, I'm going to have to find some dynamite.
Yeah, exactly. I was like, Dave, you got to start thinking like an animal. And, oh, okay. Before I forget, we're talking about fruits and vegetables, not flowers. That's entirely different thing.
I mean, so like I've always planted sunflowers because sunflowers, you know, they grow like 6 or 8 or 10 feet tall. So, and they're super easy. So you can just plant them and kind of forget about them and just water them some and that's it. So I like planting those. I'm sure there's other flowers that are easier to maintain that I would be okay with, but I don't know. It's the problem with like planting like vegetables and fruits is like a lot of them, they just don't turn out good. Like where you get it and you're like, you bite in and you're like, oh, this kind of tastes like shit. And then it's like, and then like I bought like a farmer's almanac for like $25 and I'm looking through it and it's basically telling me all the things I did wrong where it was like, well, you got to pick them at this point in the season because if you let them go too long, then it'll get bitter tasting. And I'm like, well, shit, I didn't know that.
But they tell you that too late. So you're like, you open the page for like August 4th and they're like, hope you pick your tomatoes 2 weeks ago because if not, sucks to be you.
Well, the problem is you read it when you plant them and you're just thinking about how do I properly plant them? But then when you go and pick them, you're like, oh, these suck. And then you read the book again, you're like, ah, shit, I didn't read the instructions all the way to the end.
That's so weird. It's like that farmer's almanac is like the sports almanac from Back to the Future. Oh, man. Well, hey, you know what? All good podcasts should end with a Back to the Future reference. So like, subscribe, comment. This was a few Goldilocks Bears podcasts with a Bits of Cloud.
John Emmett.
David Lauer.
And Scotty Allwood.